Hello and welcome to WonderPod, episode 59. It's another week, another show. How about that? We're going to pull it off maybe 2 weeks in a row. Joining me this week is Gunsage.
Wasabi!
And also joining me this week is Patrick.
What is going on, people? Welcome, episode 59. Woo!
Gunsage, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I was a little worried that I wouldn't have anything to report, but I have two things that I've been playing on a pretty regular basis to report. One is Alpha Protocol, and the other is Final Fantasy XII. Both are great games that you can just grind on with not really giving much of a shit about the game itself, but I would like to say, and I'm going to only go over it briefly because I'm actually planning on doing a more detailed review of it. Alpha Protocol is actually not that bad of a game. It's not a good game either, but it's actually not that bad. Yes, the stealth is crappy. Yes, you can literally unlock an ability early on that allows you to unlock basically invincibility and run up and punch people in the throat. However, you know, it's kind of one of those, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. You kind of need that because the stealth is so crappy in general. So I look at it and I go, well, you know, if you go into it knowing that it's a piece of crap, then you can actually have a lot of fun with it, especially because the story is actually really good and really well done. So are the conversations. Final Fantasy XII is just a basic grind fest. I mean, if you've played any of the Final Fantasy games, you already know what I'm talking about, but it's a little bit better paced, and at least it's not 13, so there is that.
Patrick, what have you been up to this week?
Not a heck of a lot. Not much new, really. A little bit of the home front, but the problems and frustrations still there a little bit, so I won't talk too much about that. Went back and played some Halo Reach in the last couple of days. Once Stinky Wombat was on, one of our listeners, so I joined up with him, played some Halo Reach, played some Pairs and some games some like that. Pretty fun. Always when you go back to a game you haven't played for a while, it's a bit of a relearning curve and throwing the wrong buttons. One game has you aim, the other game has you throw grenades at your teammates' feet. Not good. Once again, a call for universal controls, people. Anyways, also yesterday, met up with Mr. Audio Master G himself, and we played some of Bungie's latest playlist, community-focused again, but unlike one of the first times we did an article on this back in the day at WonderPodOnline.com, the community was, they didn't make their own maps, because, you know, we remember their maps, they looked good, but they weren't really that great. They were overcomplicated, they had a lot of problems. I mean, they were better than anything I could make, but they weren't Bungie-quality maps. So what does Bungie do this time for the community? They've decided to make the community do Halo 1 and Halo 2 inspired remake maps. So they're not exact, they're not perfect, but they're pretty darn good remakes in Forge World of some of the Halo 1 and Halo 2 maps from yesteryear, so to speak. Pretty good. Both G and myself had fun at first trying to figure out which map it was. I think we got killed more at the beginning in the first little while, because there's no textures and it's not quite the same, but it's good. A little bit of nostalgic feeling playing these. G would say something like, oh yeah, I remember I used to hide here. Oh yeah, I used to do this here. So that's cool. Some of the maps are cool. There's Beaver Creek Remake. It's a small little map. It's not perfect, but it's really well done. It's the best community made ones, that I've played at least. The game kind of changes a bit. They make it feel more like Halo 2, Halo 3. You can jump higher. Your melee is harder. You don't have any of the armor abilities from Halo Reach. Kind of fun. It was nice going back there. Aside from that, what have I been doing? Well, of course, Nintendo 3DS. It's been just over a week now since I bought the little thing. I'm still screwing around with the AR cards, taking more 3D photographs, having fun doing that. Unlocked a little fishing game and a little fishing virtual reality game. Kind of fun. Face Raiders and still playing with that. The augmented reality stuff. All of this stuff comes free with the DS. Again, like I said last week, they're mini games. They're, you know, tech demos. They're not the full thing. They're showing the potential of what could come, I guess. I've been putting my me out around the internet as a QR code. I have no idea what QR stands for. I'm sure one of you guys would, but posting it on the internet and Facebook and also with Glacinator. I got a few of these ones also, of all places off of YouTube. You just pause the movie, scan the code with your Nintendo DS, and all sorts of guys like the Undertaker me and Hitler me and whoever else come popping up in 3D on your screen, and then you can save them if you want, put them in with the rest of your Miis. Kind of fun, kind of decent. As far as games are concerned, Super Street Fighter 4 3D or whatever it's called is the one I'm spending most time on. It's a good game for a handheld because you're playing in short bursts. And that's what I usually do with a handheld. I don't sit down for hours at a time or plug it in so the battery doesn't die. I don't really do that. Some people do, but for me, a handheld is exactly that. It's just a handheld portable thing. I think the longest I've ever played is about an hour, and I'd probably be playing the Mario Kart on the original Nintendo DS. So Street Fighter works perfectly for me. I mean, I play for 10 minutes, put it down. I play for 20 minutes, put it down. Looks really good in 3D. They did a good job with the 3D effects. When you turn it off, it looks great in 2D too, really. Like I mentioned last time, you could do some of the harder combos just with a touch of the button on the bottom. I like that a lot because, like I said last time, I don't know if I'm lazy or getting old or I suck, but I haven't figured out any of the new combos since, oh, I don't know, Street Fighter 2 on my Super Nintendo. So it's good to be able to just touch them with a touch of the button and pull off some sweet moves. I have not gone online with the game. From what I've heard, online is pretty darn smooth on the 3DS, but I just don't want my ass handed to me by some Street Fighter expert. Get my ass handed in 3D and online? No thanks. So I'll probably won't even go on there. Maybe if Glacinator or someone has it around there, but I'll stick to single player Street Fighter 3D, 4, 3D, whatever the hell it's called. I think that's probably about all that I've been playing this week.
It's funny. I haven't even turned on my Xbox 360 in 10 days. Or something like that. I don't know. Really kind of just dug back into PC gaming. Been playing some Minecraft. They had an update a little while back. And the one thing you need to know if you play Minecraft and haven't been playing lately is they added wolves to it. Now, the cool thing about wolves is you can tame them. I will say, though, as a warning, you should be careful the number you tame. I was literally able to make the game lag out worse than it ever normally would on single player. I tamed too many. I don't know how many there were. I quit counting after 10. The way they spawn and the way you tame them is pretty farmable, to use a World of Warcraft or MMO term. That's been kind of a riot. Been working with some different building materials, some different styles. I'm kind of running out of gas on building in Minecraft because it's like it seems like every time I build something, it either looks like a map I made for World of Warcraft, or excuse me, not World of Warcraft, Warcraft 2, or it's a design I built 5, 6 times before. The other thing I did, and something I have not talked about until this episode recorded, was I went back and I booted up Battlefield 1942. Now, I didn't do it to play the original version. What I did was I put the Desert Combat mod on there. Now, if you don't know, Chaos, the development studio that made Homefront, that was their first work, was Desert Combat. And I kind of went back to look and see what it looks like today compared to the CODs of this world, compared to the Battlefields of this world. I really won't compare it to Halo because it's kind of apples and oranges, but funnily enough, at least for me, and I'm of course not, an art connoisseur, it's really kind of held up pretty well. I find these days playing with bots gets a little old after a while, but it's still entertaining. And then lastly, I, finally got on Good Old Games, which is goodoldgames.com or something like that if you're not familiar with it. And I bought Icewind Dale. Now, for those of you that listen to the show regularly, you probably know that I'm a huge early BioWare fan. I like a lot of what BioWare does today. Some of it's a little more miss than hit for me, but their early stuff I really, really like. Both the Baldur's Gates, Planescape Torment, Neverwinter Nights. But somehow Icewind Dale I just always passed on. Now, I talked about a little bit about this on a text post earlier this week, but I think really what it came down to was I really, really liked the story and the pacing of action in the Baldur's Gate series. The story in Planescape Torment, to me, is still one of the all-time best stories in video games. So when I found out back in the day that Icewind Dale was kind of, you know, just more of a I guess, an RPG brawler than anything else, just with AD&D rules, I kind of skipped on it. I can't even find whether I had the original disc or not, but I do remember playing it. So when I saw it on Good Old Games for like $10, I went, you know what? I'm really not in the mood for multiplayer. I'm too tired, too this, too that. I think, you know, that's perfect. And so I bought it off Good Old Games. Simple installation, simple download, and I've been just grinding on that. And the thing about it is, kind of like Gunsage was talking about, for me with RPGs, there's no thought involved. I've played enough of them, especially the old AD&D ones, that all I have to do is just kind of sit there and point and click. It's really no thought involved. And it's a lot of fun. I enjoy those kind of grinding RPGs. If you've heard Patrick or Glazenator talk about things they don't like in RPGs, this is a classic example of one of those kind of RPGs. It is a lot of fun. It's really doesn't have much of a story as far as I'm concerned. It's, you know, it's hard to pick on it when you compare it to either Baldur's Gate or Planescape Torment. You know, but it's a good experience, and I'm gonna keep right on playing with it. Who knows? I still want to get back into Homefront some. There's a few other things coming up on the Xbox 360 that I do want to play, but I can see Icewind Dale taking me a while to get through and be perfectly happy with it. Okay, so that's what I've been playing, so that's what we've been playing. Our debate topic, not really sure if it's debate topic even. That might be a little bit misleading. What I want to talk about is free-to-play games, or as they're commonly known as microtransaction from hell games. You've seen them all over the place. There's Free Realms from Sony Entertainment, Battlefield and EA have done a bunch of different ones. The thing that finally made me say, hey, let's talk about this, is there's a rumor floating around that there might be free-to-play games coming to Xbox Live. While I find that interesting, I'm not really sure what our crew's take on free-to-play games are of any shape or form. I suppose even the Facebook-type games are of a similar vein. So, Patrick, basically all I want to know is what's your thought on free-to-play games, and if you want to wander into them coming to Xbox Live, by all means, whatever. Take it away.
Well, free-to-play games, traditionally, like you said, really are microtransaction games. I think in a lot of the free-to-play games are misleading. I mean, I'm a big fan of if it's free, it's for me. But if you just play these things for free, you're going to end up getting killed, I think. Was there a Battlefield Heroes or something like that on PC? I tried that for a little while. Kind of a cartoony, cel-shaded, fun take on Battlefield, I guess. Yeah, sure, it's free in your browser. If you want to get your ass handed to you, that is. Microtransactions. So somebody decides to put $10 into this game, they're always going to beat you, whether they have better weapons, better armor, better this, better that. So the name itself is kind of misleading. But hey, you know, more content on Xbox Live, the better as far as I'm concerned. I'd probably try them, but I don't think I'd sink a lot of money. This isn't really the first time that Xbox Live is going to do this. 1 versus 100 was technically a free-to-play MMO, really. You know, or I don't know if it was tons of people playing on it. It was free. Sure, you had to watch some annoying little commercials, but a game like that, I enjoy a lot. A game without microtransactions, if it's a free-to-play game, sure. I like those type, but the ones, basically, you said it right at the start, and you're right, anything that's got a ton of microtransactions in it, is it really free? I don't think so. I'd look forward more to a game like 1 versus 100 than something where you got to do microtransactions.
there are WoW players all over the planet stabbing themselves in the eye because you called 1 versus 100 an MMO. I think that is stretching the term MMO to its breaking point and beyond, personally.
Does MMO stand for massive multiplayer?
Massive multiplayer online.
Well, there were massive amounts of people, multiples of them playing online. It's not just a, not just their term anymore.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sitting here in the judge's chair tonight. I think it's stretching it a little bit for a quiz show. But I suppose if you were going to split hairs with the laser, that is technically correct. I don't know. I tried to play it twice and got boned by downloading both times and then they took it away. So maybe that's it. Maybe I'm bitter. Gunsage, what are your thoughts on free to play games? And as Patrick, you can delve into it coming to Xbox Live or whatever, which, by the way, is just a rumor at this point, like a lot of other rumors flying around this week.
I wouldn't be adverse to it. I mean, I've never really done anything like that online. I pretty much stay away from, like, Farmville and different stuff like that. So I don't really have an opinion based on anything that I have any real experience with. I kind of look at it and I go, well, if it's something where I can play the core game and I can actually enjoy it, you know, actually have fun with it, not just, oh, yeah, you can play the core game, but it's not going to be any fun unless you buy this and this and this. And if it's something where the core game, the basic game that you download and you play for free is fun, is enjoyable, is addictive, and might cause me to go ahead and want the microtransactions, oh, I'd be all for that. I really would. I mean, that's another reason why I look at Farmville and stuff like that, and I go, you know, I really don't know why I haven't gotten into it other than I just don't have time. I really don't have time to go ahead and hop in there and do that kind of shit. I like the kind of thing that I can just pick up and put down, and I'm not obligated to play it. That's another reason why I never got into, like, Animal Crossing real hard. Like, I tried, but especially whenever I first started playing it, since it bases it off of an actual clock, it was like I was always playing the game at night, so I could literally never interact with anyone because they were always asleep. It was just, you know, that kind of... Obviously, that's not going to be the way it is if they do something for the 360. I look at it and I go, I wouldn't be adverse to it, but for me, they would really have to garner my attention somehow. They'd really have to just snap it into focus.
You know, for me, I don't really care. I've played a little bit of Cityville. I've played a few other little Facebook games. I think free-to-play or whatever your microtransactions of Doom or whatever you want to call them is all about your mindset. When I played, like, Cityville, I set it up so that it wasn't this labor-intensive, life-sucking ordeal. When I played World of Warcraft, I made sure that other than maybe raids or something, I set up, okay, I'm going to play this, this, and this, try and get this, this, and this done tonight, and then walk away from it. You know, it's a different mindset you have to have than playing, say, Battlefield or playing Mass Effect or something like that. So as long as you go into it with a proper mindset, even Battlefield Heroes, okay, so every once in a while you're going to have some snot-nosed kid that spent $30 and has a nuclear warhead. If you work it right, you can still kind of enjoy those games just knowing that you're going to have some issues. But and in reality, if you think about it, how's that any different than hopping on to play Modern Warfare 2 and getting your ass kicked by a bunch of little cheating pricks that they can't catch? I mean, in reality, you're going to always have obstacles or you're going to always have moments in any kind of game where it's a pain in the rear end. Now, some of them, the microtransactions, do make that worse than others. I think bottom line for me, it's like Patrick said, any content that you can bring that's new to the console, be it the 360, be it the PS3 or, you know, PC or whatever, is good. I just think you have to definitely have a different mindset to play some of these free-to-play games rather than, you know, you would with, say, a standard $60 game. So there you go. I mean, Patrick, even you're like, what was that? The Canadian sexual disease game, and then that free Mario game you could play with anybody else. I mean, really, those are free to play too.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if this rumor pans out which way they go. I think it's going to probably be a little more towards microtransaction type games, but, you know, so, and even with that, with the microtransactions, you got to think about it. Let's say that's all you decide to play. You play the game and you decide for $10, it's worth your time for a little extra or a little faster and this and that. Well, really, you've spent $50 less than you would on a normal 360 AAA title. So it'll be interesting to see. We'd never kind of touched on this topic. As you can see, these gentlemen are kind of, you know, into it if there's the right conditions are met. So we'll just have to wait and see what, you know, Microsoft does with it. So that has been kind of our debate, or if you want to call it coffee clutch topic, I don't know. I don't even know what to call the damn thing anymore. Let's move on to Survivor Man G. He has another nostalgia game for us. We're kind of a little bit behind on the schedule of the transmissions as I receive them, but that was due to episode 58, not recording the first time. So with that out of the way, let's kick it over to Survivor Man G.
WonderPod security interface detection online. External message probe detected.
System analysis
detects sender.
What's up, WonderPod crew? Survivor Man G signing in. Or maybe I should change my name to Super Hike Man G. Damn, I'm sick of walking. But still, I have a couple more days to go or so. However, it appears that I gave up on my quest to find a boat a little too soon. Yesterday, I saw one that appears to be something out of a 17th century, like a Spanish galleon or something like akin. I couldn't see too much detail as it was pretty far out at sea, so instinctively I grabbed the first thing nearby to wave in the air to get the boat's attention. Dude, I said I was sorry. I just kind of wasn't thinking. Fuck, I'm never gonna hear the end of this, am I? Fine, I'm a gamer dick. We tried, right? See, WonderPod crew, even with our attempts to get their attention, they sailed off into the horizon and out of view. You'll always be my partner in crime, Diddy. Speaking of which, I should move on to Wonderstalgia before I run out of energy. Partners in crime? Mang, partners in crime. This week I want to talk about Double Dragon, a classic beat-em-up cabinet released by Technos in 1987. It's a two-player co-op game where you roll through the city streets as Billy and Jimmy Lee. It's a side-scroller with a decent variety of enemy types that forced the player to switch their style of play to succeed. Furthermore, it was fun as hell. Double Dragon was a pretty influential game, which went on to spawn Renegade, Super Dodgeball, and River City Ransom. Not only that, it certainly holds cultural significance amongst developers today. For example, the 2005 movie-to-game adaptation of the cult classic The Warriors was created by Rockstar Games. Clink, clink, come out to play! If you completed the game, you could return to your hideout. There was an arcade cabinet now available to play. It was basically a Double Dragon tribute that substituted the Warrior Gang in place of Billy and Jimmy Lee. A mashup, if you will. What did the WonderPod crew think of Double Dragon? Also, are there any other pop culture references to this title you've noticed through your time as gamers? Once again, it's getting about that time to check out for the week, and I hope it treats everyone well. I'm really curious to find out what I saw crash land a couple weeks back. Hopefully it's nothing too sinister. Until then, Survivor Man G signing off. Oh, Diddy says peace out too. Word.
Signal complete.
Okay, Super Hike Man G, as you're calling yourself in your latest transmission. Oh, it's too bad that that ship you saw offshore didn't see you, or at least didn't stop to come rescue you, even if you used Diddy Kong as a giant sign, flinging him around by his head. So, your retro game of choice this week was Double Dragon. So, a pretty classic game, both in the arcades and on home consoles. I didn't play it very much, if at all, on home consoles, now that I think about it. I played it in the arcades kind of a little later than it actually came out. My only recollection, I can't even speak. memory of the game is in junior high. They had it across the street from my junior high school at a 7-Eleven. And I remember playing it a little bit and more watching my friends play it. The best story I have about Double Dragon, really, is at one point one of my friends wanted to play and somebody else was kind of hogging the game. They were really good. And at one point he dumped an entire Slurpee on the guy's head in order to get him off the machine. Of course, it wasn't a good idea because the owner of the 7-Eleven kicked both of them out, took their pitcher and said, don't come back to the 7-Eleven again. That lasted about a week. But that's about the best story I have about Double Dragon, really. It's a classic game, but for some reason, I just didn't get into it that much.
Gunsage, Double Dragon.
Well, I've played two or four versions of it, depending on how you look at it. I played the Nintendo version, I've played the actual arcade version, the Genesis version, which is technically the arcade version, and also the Xbox Live Arcade version, which is also technically the arcade version. So I guess two versions, if you want to be, you know, succinct. Personally, I really liked Double Dragon. I didn't pick it as one of my Brawler of the Year games. I think it was because it actually came out in, I want to say 89, maybe 88. But the thing is, it's actually a really fun game. It's got a lot more moves than, say, Final Fight. You actually have a lot of different stuff going on there. You didn't have the ability to run, I don't believe, but like you had a bunch of different combos you could do. You had a couple of different throws that you could do, and it wasn't dependent on the character either because both characters were basically the same. They were twins, basically. This trend continued on with all the Double Dragon games, to be honest. I'm not going to go ahead and get into those, obviously, because we're just talking about the first one. But it's a game that I've beaten multiple times. I still have a lot of fun with it. You know, sadly, it's one of those games that you don't really see anymore. But yeah, it was fun to play in the arcade, on the console, wherever. I never got a chance to play any of the other versions. I think there were a couple on, I want to say, a couple of the computer consoles. Yeah, overall, very fun little beat-em-up game, you know, very advanced, especially for the time.
I'm sure that not only Survivor Man GE, but Audio Master GE and Plug-in GE and the rest of the G family already know this. It's a 2D side-scrolling brawler, so I probably didn't play it much. And that was my thought. And usually when we have one of these retro games in our various segments where I don't remember it right off the top of my head, I'll go quickly look at the wiki, look at a couple screenshots, and see if it jars anything in my memory. I did that today, and actually Guns Age, it came out first in cabinets in 1987. I learned that from the wiki. And I do recall playing it. But it was not of my choosing. The little crew of guys I ran around with when I was in late elementary school, early junior high school, one of the guys loved to play it and could never get anybody else to play it, so he'd always talk me into it, mostly because he'd put the quarters in. So I do recall playing it. I don't recall playing it a lot. Or anything specific about it. I do recall him being irritated every time because I sucked at it. And yet he's paying me to play it, basically. It just was kind of this never ending circle of he wanted so desperately to play it and yet stuck with me. And I always sucked at 2D side scrolling brawlers. As Patrick said, definitely a classic game. There's a lot of games that, you know, that have borrowed from it over the years. Scott Pilgrim immediately leaps to mind, among others. So, Double Dragon is definitely a good one to bring up. Survivor Man G, I hope you find a ship, a boat, or turn the monkey into a raft and paddle off your island and find something maybe possibly a little more civilized. You be sure to let us know if you decided to keep any of the monkeys, though. That would be interesting to find out. So that's it for Survivor Man G. Let's move on to the news. Yes, the news. The news this week really wasn't all that great. Now, something came out today that may come up in a later segment in the show, but I'm going to kind of tell you right now, I don't give two screaming shits about it. So there you have it. Ooh, intrigue. but a lot of this is just, some of it's actually catching up on stuff we've speculated on that's now becoming a little more concrete. Some of it's just your standard run-of-the-mill stuff. One thing I can promise is there's no lawsuit stories. I think we did enough of that last week for a while. Our first news story comes to us from computerandvideogames.com. And, you know, I'm getting a little sick of these current and former streaming online game service guys bitching about other online streaming online game service guys or just digital video game service guys, but that's what this story is. The headline is Steam holding up Half-Life development, Stardock. The resources required to successfully operate digital distribution platform Steam has led to a slowdown in Valve's game development capabilities. That's the opinion of Stardock's Brad Wardell, who just sold Steam's competitor Impulse to retailer GameStop. Even though Valve is in Seattle, where you can get developers everywhere, Steam's had an effect on their development schedule, he told Industry Gamers. There's not been a new Half-Life in a long time. A lot of people have complained about that. They've had their own challenges getting new titles out the door, and a big part of that, I'm sure, is the same problems we've had. When one of our groups is so ridiculously profitable, every business instinct you have is to throw all of the best people at it. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I want Half-Life Episode 3 or Half-Life 2 Episode 3 or Half-Life 67 35 Hike, but I'm not buying this crap for a second. And not because it's one of Steam's former competitors. I just don't see how the same skill set people are required for both Steam and developing Half-Life 3. Especially when you consider that Portal 2 is coming out here next week. Patrick, are you buying any of this, or are you more in my camp? Because it just doesn't make sense to me. But no, I'm not that smart either, so there
sure.
You go.
I don't really pay too much attention to PC gaming. I didn't even know about the other service. You know, the most PC gaming I do is on Steam. It depends on the company, really. I don't know. They made a lot of games in between Half-Life games. They've made what? Left 4 Dead, or been a part of Left 4 Dead and been a part of the Team Fortress games and all sorts of stuff like that. So maybe that's why it's taking so long in between true Half-Life games. I don't know. It seems to me he's just trying to cause trouble, something like that. I think Valve's a big enough company that they have different quote unquote departments, you know. I don't think the same people who are making the games are working on Steam. I really don't. I think they're probably different teams. So yeah, he's probably talking out his butt.
Gunsage, is this possible? Or is the guy talking out his ass, as Patrick just said?
I really don't want to say this, but I'm really going to say it. Blizzard. I mean, at the end of the day, I look at it and I go, Valve could have, should have, could have, would have, whatever, made Half-Life 2 Episode 3 by now. Personally, I don't care. I mean, I think it'd be awesome if they went ahead and did it. Sure. Absolutely. Left on a cliffhanger. It's kind of like the Shinway debacle. I certainly think they could if they wanted to, but I think they've got other projects going on right now, you know, like Portal 2 and probably some other stuff as well. I mean, if they're smart, they're probably doing some more Left 4 Dead stuff on the side as well. But I think it's really a matter of they're not good at multitasking. They're kind of like, we should totally do episode 3. Oh, look, there's a squirrel. You know, they're kind of going ahead and focusing on something else that's going to make the money right now, which makes sense, but it kind of doesn't really do much as far as fan service. Personally, I do want to see episode 3. I do think it'll come about sooner or later, but probably more later than sooner.
You know, this story ties in with one I skipped last week, where Gamersgate, I think it's called, the dude behind that was trashing GameStop buying Impulse. Gee, that's kind of in his best interest to do. It's kind of in Brad Wardell's best interest to be banging on Steam a little bit, I think, even though he just sold Impulse to GameStop. If Steam was a brand new service, I might see some credence in this. But Steam has been around for a number of years now. I think it's far, far more likely that the smash success of Left 4 Dead 1 and the fact that Portal became its own internet meme from hell has a lot more to do with why we've not seen Half-Life 2 Episode 3 than anything that's going on with Steam itself. I mean, Left 4 Dead really kind of came out of nowhere to my mind. I mean, yes, there was the standard hype for it, but I think it probably took the guys at Valve by surprise. The same with Portal. And then you tie into that Gabe Newell trying to make Sony his bestest friend and get invited to their birthday. You know, there's a lot going on. When you consider that the Left 4 Dead 2 release had a little bit of controversy, mostly from morons, and that fact that Portal 2 has had a lot of marketing and hype to it, I think we're going to see Half-Life 2 Episode 3 here in the next couple years, but I don't really think what Steam as a service and as an engine, as a vehicle is doing has a damn thing to do with that. For me right now, I think it's down to what's coming first, Left 4 Dead 3 or Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Now, if I were Valve, I would do the Half-Life 1 first because I think everybody's getting a little tired of zombies. Although Zombie Island may change my opinion on that. We have yet to see. So, hard to say. Maybe we're all crazy. Maybe they just, Valve isn't big enough to do all of this. But as good as Portal 2 looks, and I wasn't a huge Portal fan, I find that a little hard to believe. You would think that Left 4 Dead 2 or Portal 2 would have been a little less than stellar if they were so tapped for resources running Steam. I don't know if whether it was Patrick or Gunsage, but I think it was more, like I said, the surprise at how well those two games I mentioned did and the fact that they're just chased. You know, it was Gunsage. Let's start this. Oh, look, a squirrel. I think there could be some of that involved too, which, hey, everybody does that. So there you go. Our next news story, that is, comes to us from GamesRadar, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, should I care or should I not? I mean, there's this huge, overwhelming surge of wanting to turn the industry into this mature medium. We're mature now. All we do is Heavy Rain games. And a lot of times it just gets lost because that's where my cutoff for, oh, damn it, I just want to play games, kind of kicks in. It's not what the lawsuit stories. It's not what the business talk. It's what when the artsy-fartsy crowd starts going batshit loco. So, like I said, the story's kind of, should I care? The headline is, games music now officially recognized by the Grammys, even though Civ 5 won a Grammy last year. Basically, what this comes down to is Video game music used to be thrown in a miscellaneous bargain bin category. Now it has its own category. I'm not going to bore you with details. I'm having a really hard time caring about this. To a certain extent, it tells me that the industry and the medium is starting to be taken a little more seriously. But at the same time, while I recognize that there's been some excellent over-the-top music in a lot of video games, I just am like, eh. So, Patrick, is there a reason I should care about this beyond the industry getting some recognition?
Oh, I don't know if there's a reason why you should care about this, but I...
Well, yeah, hold on. Yeah, let me rephrase. My apologies. Is this that big of a goddamn deal? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It depends. I'm sure if Glacinator was on this episode, he'd be all about it. I remember him talking about he really enjoys music and sound in games and how he thinks a lot of reviewers and people don't even focus on that enough. I don't know, but I mean, the Grammys, I don't find the Grammys to be that great of an award show. I guess if you look at it one way from the video game industry, it's great to be recognized. Some of these artists, some of these musicians are now, you know, they can get a really important prize, a really important recognition. For me personally, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Grammys. It's nice to have them in there, I guess, but it's not a huge deal personally to me.
Gunsage, got an opinion? Should we care?
Okay, I'm gonna let you finish. But Super Mario Bros. 3 had the best video game music of all time. Of all time! I don't know. I kind of look at this and I go,
fuck that, it was 8-bit.
Exactly. I look at this and I go, honestly, I feel there should be some recognition. Okay, I'm on that side. I do. But the Grammys? It's not even whether they could compete or not. It's whether they should compete or not. I think they should be an entirely different category altogether. An entirely different show, an entirely different everything. Basically, what it comes down to is, I think a lot of the video games, you know, they have great music, excellent soundtracks, you know, especially stuff like the Final Fantasy series. At the end of the day, I would love to see some sort of a show or recognition or something for it beyond, like, just a magazine or just a web show or something. I would, but it doesn't need to happen. Most of us already know what constitutes good video game music. Most of us, especially those of us that play a lot of games, and really, those of us that don't play a lot of games, we're not going to tune in and go, oh, wow, I really need to play that game because of music X. You know, that's kind of the whole point. I feel it should deserve some recognition, but not quite to the level they're insisting on taking it here.
I'm just going to apologize to Glacinator in advance. I don't. There's like a 5% part of me that says, okay, cool. It means we're getting a little more recognition. The industry and the medium is maturing a little more. 95% of me doesn't give two screaming shits in hell about this. To me, video game music is important, but for me, it's more of it should blend well. It should fit the setting well. When it's good, I shouldn't even really cognizantly recognize it's there. It's when it's bad and jarring and out of pace or out of time and in the wrong setting, you know, like having fighting music in an RPG when you're at an inn or something of to that extent. You know, it's really hard for me to care about this. I know that there's a ton of video game music nerds out there. I hear them all the time on Twitter talking about, you know, oh, I bought this soundtrack and I bought that soundtrack. And it's like, you know, it just goes over my head, which is funny because there's a lot of other types of music that I could sit there and talk to you about for 2 hours of why I like it or why it has a good feel to me. You know, for me still, video game music should just blend in. Sounds and the music are important, and I do recognize that, but it's more of a blending thing. It should fit all together nice and neat. So, good on the Grammys for doing this. just so that the We Need to Mature crowd can feel good about themselves for 10 minutes, but I guess what it comes down to is I don't care and everybody else does. I think that's what we're saying. I'm kind of like Gunsage. I'd like to see how it have its own show or something like that, or its own category on one of those shows like that stupid one Spike does. So there you go. Again, sorry, Glacinator. Sorry, Audio Master G. You guys know I love music. I'm just not as much in video games. Our next story, and this is going back. That's right. We're getting in the Wayback Machine. To E3 last year. Now, you all remember Newell, Gabe Newell, the dude from Valve, the guy, head honcho, wandering out onto the stage with the president of Sony, and it, you know, it was like, Luke, I'm your father moment, kind of crap. And they announced that there would be Steam on the PS3. Of course, the Sony fanboys immediately went batshit. Oh, we're going to have Steam. I can play my Steam games on there. And then I started hearing it was like Steam-like attributes and so on and so forth. So we speculated about it a couple times on this show. Today, as the release of Portal 2 nears, concrete details, at least for now, of what Steam on the PS3 is going to mean. I got it off of computerandvideogames.com. Obviously, the headline is Valve details PS3 Steam support for Portal 2. Valve has revealed full details of how Steam will be supported by PS3 versions of Portal 2. The first title to support Steam on a console, I want you to take note of that title. Portal 2 offers cross-platform matchmaking, gameplay, friends, chat, and achievements all powered by Steam. Steam on the PS3 also saves co-op game progress and single-player save games to the Steam Cloud, enabling players to pick up where they left off on any PlayStation 3. Now, I need to stop right there because that's just it. It's only PlayStation 3s. You can go 100 miles to your buddy's house. If he's got Portal 2, you can access your save game. It does not cross platforms. You can't save it on the PS3 Steam Cloud and then go turn it on your PC and have the same game. They haven't quite gotten that far yet. There was some confusion today, listeners, so that's why I'm making sure I stop the story and specify. Now continuing. The Steam overlay for PS3 provides access to both PSN and Steam friends, displaying their in-game or online status and providing a quick pathway to text chats, player profiles, friend requests, and game invites. Steam achievements earned in lockstep with PSN trophies and are also accessible within the Steam overlay. Steam on the PS3 provides access to all of these features once the player has linked their PlayStation Network account with a Steam account, which is done right within the game. A Steam user can log into an existing account, and anyone new to Steam can create an account with a click of a button. In the spirit of Steam Play, linked players of the PS3 or... Hold on, let me say that again. In the spirit of Steam Play, linked players of the PS3 version of Portal 2 can also access and play their copy of Portal 2 on any PC or Mac by redeeming an in-box access code on their computer. The Steam client verifies the linked customer and then lists Portal 2, yada, yada, yada. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. First off, I think what you need to understand is it's going to be for Valve title specific. So sorry, fanboys. I saw some of you even today drooling like dirty mongrels. That you're going to be able to play your Steam library on the PS3 and suck at Xbox fanboys, yada yada. That's not happening, much as I think we speculated months ago. So I did this mostly for those of you that own a PS3, wanted to know what the deal was and hadn't yet found out. It's still cool. I'll give, as much as I kind of got sick of Gabe Newell and the Sony love, I'll give them credit. Microsoft, you better start thinking. Patrick, as I said, I kind of did this more as a public service announcement or whatever you want to call it. Any thoughts you'd like to add to that announcement?
Not really. I don't have a PlayStation 3 personally. I don't play a lot of Steam, although I played a little bit. Definitely sounds interesting, and yeah, I'd like to see this or something similar. You never know. Maybe at this E3 he'll walk out with the head of Microsoft Game Studios or something, and they can bond like he did with PlayStation last year. But yeah, I'd like to see something like this for the Xbox and for all consoles. But this personal piece of news, I'm not too, don't have any much else to add to it.
I think he's that kind of hooker. It could happen. Stay tuned for our E3 special. Gunsage, any thoughts you'd like to add to this before we move on?
Not really. I'm pretty much ditto. It's cool technology, but, you know, since it's PS3 and PS3 has no games, so I'm kind of meh.
You know, the thing I find interesting is it's a framework. You know, I'm sure some people, especially those who listen to the voices in their head and don't read things online, thought I was trashing, you know, this whole concept of having some type of Steam support on the PS3. No. And what I'm seeing here, I like, because then Valve and Sony can build on it. And maybe eventually you can play games you have on your PC or Mac on the PS3. It's one of the smartest moves I've seen Sony make in the last few years, and I applaud them for it. If Patrick is correct, and Gabe Newell has no problem with hanging out with anybody that's willing to pay him a lot of money, maybe we'll see that for Microsoft. I'm not going to hold my breath on that, but good on you. And if you buy if you buy Portal 2 on the PS3, you're definitely getting a good value out of it. Again, as I said, much as I disliked the absolute slurp fest that happened last year after the announcement, I think this is going to be really, really smart for Valve, and to a lesser extent Sony. So there you go. I had one last story, ladies and gentlemen, and as much as it's fun looking at Jim Sterling and his pirate outfit complete with toucan, we're not going to do it because it's not worth it. Screw piracy. Screw pirates, screw piracy, and screw everything else. So what we're going to move on to now is what I missed. And I know that there's possibly, maybe, I might have even hinted about it in the beginning of the show, a big one. Or not so big. I don't know. Patrick, do you have anything for us from what I missed?
Well, you didn't really miss it, quote unquote, because you put the show notes out a day early. There's a few things that you missed, nothing too big. Nintendo's probably got the biggest buzz going around today and even the last few days. I'm not going to bother saying this website or that website because pretty much every major website has talked about it. First, there's a release. They have release dates now for, both Star Fox and Zelda now. So one's coming out June, one's coming out July, so firm release dates for people who are a little concerned that there's not a great library, and they're right, there's not a great library at launch for the 3DS. So that's something that came out a couple days ago. More recently, and definitely interesting, is more of a rumor, although now there's so many websites and magazines saying they're talking to their quote-unquote sources that it could almost be considered news, but again, much like our discussion topic, this is a rumor. So, apparently, sources are telling many people, including Game Informer, who probably started all of this, that Nintendo will be talking about unveiling whatever you want to call the Wii 2, the next console at E3. Supposed to be, according to some quote-unquote sources, this is all rumor, of course, more powerful than the PlayStation 3, high definition, stuff like that. That's pretty much the biggest news that come out in the last couple days.
Patrick, what do you give me a guess, percentage, however you want to make the guess, that we're going to actually hear this at E3?
I think we will. I think if you look at the sales, especially in their quote-unquote homeland, the PlayStation 3 is kicking their butt. They're really not doing so hot. I think it's about time since I started doing the whole beta test crap with Kinect, and I noticed the similarities between the motion control and stuff like that in Kinect. The Nintendo Wii, as much as I like Nintendo, but it felt so dated. It really did. Because now Sony with the Move and Microsoft with the Kinect, they can do what Nintendo used to claim was unique. But they can do it now with high-def graphics. They can do it now with Blu-ray. They could do it with high-definition movies. They could do it with a good online service. I think Nintendo's smart enough to at least announce a new system at E3.
Gunsage, agree with Patrick, or do you just think this is an unconfirmed rumor and we won't be hearing any more about it?
It would be smart if they had another console lined up, and I'm sure they do, but not right now. I think it's strictly rumors on a need-to-room basis, if you will, and that's about it.
You know, it's funny because I knew this was coming. Yes, I turned in the show notes, but that's why we do what I missed. Cause stuff like this happens all the time. There were two gentlemen on my Twitter, Ben Perlee, who's a freelance writer, and at NaviGG, who writes for Gay Gamer, who both made the excellent point that Nintendo needs to not worry about a console so much as getting their internet online infrastructure up to date and on par with Sony and possibly Microsoft. I will add to that that the rumors from GI, Game Informer, are talking about HD and all this, that, and the other thing. Not only do I support what those two guys on Twitter were talking about, that, hey, Nintendo, you need to get your online service quite a bit better before you worry about another console. Two, this HD thing makes me wonder, oh boy, are they going to try and battle with the other two knuckleheads come the next console? And I think that is just ridiculous. I think that would be stupid. I think they should ride the Wii out for as long as possible, because your core market for the Wii is not quite ready, I think, for another console. As to the rumor itself, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. Game Informer had me sniffing the hook, to use a fishing term, because I tend to trust the guys at Game Informer. They seem to not put something out until they're fairly certain of it, but I'm just not buying it yet. I'm totally ready to go, oh, well, I didn't know what I was talking about come E3, but I hope Nintendo isn't, to be honest, especially after talking about the internet infrastructure thing. I mean, you've heard Patrick and Glacinator both talk about it, and now that I own Wii, I've seen, you know, the mess that is the virtual console and WiiWare, and it's just, yeah. Gunsage, I know with Patrick letting the cat out of the bag on the Wii 2 rumor, it's going to be a little difficult. But did you find anything that I missed or that you'd like to bring up for a quick second?
Actually, I did. I have great news! A Streets of Rage remake was released! Yay! Also, it was immediately pulled. Boo! Of course, Sega was well within their copyright powers and, you know, in which to do so, but it was kind of a dick move on their part, because leading up to it being released, they were perfectly cool with the idea. They never said anything. They never did a cease and desist like Squaresoft has done oh so many times. They pretty much let them go ahead and develop it, let it go ahead and be released for public consumption, and then immediately were like, wait, and started blowing whistles and shit. So I don't quite understand what the purpose of that was. And yes, they did recently announce that they went ahead and remade Streets of Rage 2 for the iPhone. But all the same, it was kind of a dick move on their part. I understand they need to protect their copyright and everything, but why let them go through the whole? Why have public knowledge of it? Let them go through the whole process just to go ahead and, you know, snatch it right from them as soon as they go to release it. That's kind of my point.
Yeah, it's only rumor, and I'm doing air quotes, people, so figure it out. But there's a rumor that you can obtain copies of that remake somewhere. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I did read about that. It was more dickish than Activision and the King's Quest saga. Speaking of which, Gun Sage, to your delight, I don't know how often you're on Good Old Games, but I think they have every King's Quest game known to freaking man on Good Old Games. So, if you do you have them all for PC or something? The King's Quest?
Oh, I've already beaten them all.
Well, if you ever want to get them again, they're cheap on Good Old Games, and it's a pretty cool process, so there you
go. Somebody also remade King's Quest 1 through 3. And I don't know if they're planning on doing any more of them either. And the remakes are really good. They actually added, like, new content, voiceovers, and a bunch of different stuff.
Well, these are all the originals that are on Good Old Games.
Right.
So if you're ever hankering to play one of them, that was all I was going to do with the last of this segment, was if you're ever hankering to play one of them, they are out there, legally.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's been what I missed. Okay, so we're going to try something. if you played the original Portal, the number one mind-melting, I hear it today and I want to smack people, mem that came out of that was the cake is a lie. Now, there were tons of other things that went kind of in that same vein, but the cake is a lie actually made me play Portal first when I bought the orange box. Now, I bought the orange box to catch up on Half-Life, play some Team Fortress with Glenn Sage and Pat and other people. But I actually played Portal first because of the whole cake is a lie thing. So here's what I want to do. I want to have a little fun with the tail end of the show. Portal 2 comes out next Thursday. So, Patrick, what I want you to do, given whatever knowledge you have of Portal, given anything you've seen on Portal 2, give me a phrase or a character or something that's going to be the Portal 2 meme.
I don't know. I haven't been following Portal 2 at all. Again, Gunsage, go, I got to think of something, but I can't think of anything at the moment.
Okay, well, this is called Pull It Out of Your Ass segment. Just have a little bit of fun with it. Gunsage, you played Portal. Save me here. Oh, what's the next meme going to be? Come on, guys, get creative. I know between the two of you, you got a brain somewhere around there.
Are you still there? Baker lost.
That's the main reason why they keep saying the cake is a lie. They just couldn't find the baker. Or the robots found him first, one or the other.
Patrick.
I don't know.
Did you even play the original?
I played the demo for the original, yeah, so I don't even know what you guys are talking
about. Dude, that's like the platform. That's like the platformer from hell, and you didn't play it?
No, I played the demo on Xbox Live. That's why I'm having difficulty with this, this segment here.
I cannot believe you, Mr. Platformer, who kicks my ass in the free, easy nacho cheese chip games.
It was fun, but for some reason, I didn't get into it till later. I played the demo. It was one of those, something else must have come up at the time that just pushed it aside.
The orange box is used for like $10 down at GameStop. go play Portal 1. Everybody knows I suck at platformers.
You liked it? You thought it was good?
Yes. I enjoyed it very much. That portal gun is a hell of a lot of fun to play with. I mean, come on, man. You can shoot yourself in, The Patrick is a lie. That's the mem for this show because he's not. What do I think it's gonna be? It's gonna be something, and you know it. Let's see. So, Gunsage went with the baker is lost. I'm gonna go with you're on candid camera. What do I mean by that? Basically, that the whole thing is set up. That the whole thing was just kind of a joke. That there was no, you know, aperture science, none of the rest of that crap. So yeah, it's gonna be you're on candid camera is the next meme for Portal 2. Gunsage, you got another one? We'll give you another one since Patrick's a lie.
This was a sequel. Ding, 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 ding.
Pretty much.
The robots are made out of cake.
Cakebot.
Cakebot. Yep. Yeah, that's no. Instead of
cake sentry.
Instead of the companion cube, this time you get a cakebot.
Yep. Companion loaf.
Or the companion companion cube is made out of cake. Mm-hmm. Patrick, have you at least seen the companion cube, the little square dude with hearts?
No.
Your nerd license is getting revoked. It's sad. I'm like normally the least nerdy among us. I mean, even you usually even beat me, and I know what the I played Portal, so I know what you've never seen the companion cube.
Maybe I don't know. I can't remember. I played the demo for it. That's about it that I can recall.
You got to play that game.
Yeah, dude. Oh God,
it's so fun.
Maybe I'll.
That's why Glacinator was asking me if I was going to buy the second one, and when I said I don't think so, he was like gasp.
Well, I'm probably not going to, too. A, finances, and B, I'm not like a super fanboy. It's not something I have to, it's not the Michael Jackson experience. It's not something I have to, well, that's what it became. I mean, I know where your sickos are going with that.
Just
that's
beat
bad
it.
Experience.
But, it really did become like this transcendent, disgusting pop culture thing that apparently Patrick completely missed out on.
Well, I would just beat it. But that would be bad.
Just portal it?
Yeah.
Just portal it?
Exactly.
No wonder you were like, dude, why do I care about robots getting smashed by a wall when I put up the fucking... I had no idea you were not part of the portal. No.
Phenomenon.
I feel special for once. It's like normally I'm like the last freaking person. You got that new supercomputer. I, as limited finances as I am, I'm going to see how much that bastard is on Steam. I think I'm gifting you Portal on Steam.
He's only like 10 bucks, wait a minute. Something like that.
I don't know if I want to doom you to keyboard and mouse, though. That could be bad.
I borrowed the orange box off of someone, but I don't think I even played the port. I played some Half-Life and I played some Team Fortress. That was it. Oh. I'll borrow it again.
Wasn't that Stinky Wombat?
I think so, yep. Probably. Yeah, I'll borrow it again.
I know you listen to the show. Go over to his house, put Portal in his 360, tie him to the chair, and make him play it. I'm telling you, you'd like it, because it's a platformer where you... Also use portals.
Yep.
You have to use portals to platform things.
Puzzle.
Like, there's one level where you go, you know the level Gunsage, it's toward the end where you're like in this huge silo and you just keep going up and up and up and up. I died like 79 times there before. Dude, you've never seen anything this crazy. I mean, you literally have to portal your way up. It's probably 30 damn stories before you get to the top of it. So.
Of course, no fall damage, which is nice.
Yeah, well, if you're fast enough. I'm one of those people that's so uncoordinated, I figured out a way to die. Because I wasn't fast enough. I missed my portal. So Gunsage and I kind of gave you some memes. I just wanted to play with this a little bit. Just do something goofy. If you guys are like, what in the hell are these clowns doing? Then shut the show off.
Yep. $10. $10.
Yeah. Yeah, $10. Patrick, love you a long time. Somebody gift him. Well, he is. We're soon to do the prostitute segment. Come on, it fits right in.
Hey, here we go. You can even get the orange box just for $20 now. That's nice.
Dude, it's got to be cheaper somewhere than that. Oh, you mean on Steam?
Yeah, on Steam. On Steam.
I was going to say, because I picked it up like out of the bargain bin for $20 like 2 years ago Walmart. That was a 360 version, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Stinky Wombat, please take your copy of Orange Box over to Patrick's house and make sure he plays Portal. I wouldn't be pushing it on you if I didn't think you'd enjoy it.
That's why Glacinator was gasping when I said I wasn't going to play Portal 2. It makes sense now.
So this wasn't so much a funny haha mem segment, although a couple of Glenn Sages and I were chuckle worthy. Patrick's had a revelation. He's seen the light. It's almost like a church service now.
Must.
And then, you know what's going to happen with the way my luck's been running this year recommending games? Like a week from now, he's going to come back and go, you guys are assholes.
It's the worst game ever.
Yeah. What? So what? You got a portal gun and there's this stupid cube.
That's okay. We'll just tell him he's playing it wrong.
Yeah, the last light, that's like the last line of fanboy defense.
Yep.
You're doing it wrong. This is serious business, guys. You're doing it wrong.
You're supposed to like Final Fantasy 13. You're playing it wrong.
Oh, really?
You turn it on?
Yeah. That's okay.
Did you press the X button?
I felt really, really good because did you guys happen to see the score SOCOM 4 got from Jim?
No.
Like a 4 or something like that.
I'm three. Oh,
see, I'm even lower than his Final Fantasy and Ass Creed score.
Oh, well, I gave it Final Fantasy 13 got a 3.
Oh, did it get? I thought I got a 3.5.
Nope, got a 3. That's why I was so surprised.
I didn't care one way or another because I expect Jim to give me his honest take, and that's the end of it. But even I, when I read through the whole entire text, I was like, okay, he didn't really like it. And I got down to 3, and I went, damn, son! I mean, it was just like, Jesus Christ.
He trashed 13.
Oh, no, yeah. I remember that, but I thought it got like a 3.5 or a 4. But I did hear him say on Twitter, apparently some of the multiplayer issues may have been... fixed, so he might re-review the multiplayer.
See, I've never been a big SOCOM fan, so I can't even say I've been a small SOCOM fan because I've never played any.
I played the first couple on my PlayStation 2, and I wasn't all that impressed to begin with. So, Go play, if you're a PS3 fan and you're pissed off that Jim gave SOCOM 4 a 3, go play Killzone 3. I'm sure there's still plenty of people playing that. So, okay. So the goofy segment's over. Patrick, we alluded to you being a prostitute earlier. Do your thing and we'll get the hell out of here.
All right, boys and girls. You all know this wonderful podcast that you're listening to right now on your listening device or computer or TV is available for subscription on iTunes. Give us a rating. We would appreciate that. You can listen to us on Apple TV as well. And you can go to archive.org and get all our other episodes on MP3 format if you hate Apple with a passion. Or at wonderpodonline.com, some of our latest episodes. Speaking of wonderpodonline.com, we haven't said wonderpodonline.com clearly enough wonderpodonline.com times, so I had to rectify that by saying wonderpodonline.com. Anyways, check out the website. Lots of great stuff on there, lots of videos, daily updates, all sorts of stuff, comics, you name it. What else have we got? We got a Facebook page, about 333, I think, of us at the moment. I don't know. I just guessed. But yeah, send us an invite. WonderPod Online is our name. Send us a friend request. There's actually only one person I've ever turned down, and that was someone blatantly spamming shit. So if you're blatantly spamming shit, no, I'll say no. Otherwise, you'll join all the fun. You could ask us questions on our Facebook page. Sometimes we even answer them. So we're on YouTube, some videos, we're on everywhere, I don't know, I can't think of anything else. We do have an old-fashioned email address where you can send us all sorts of hate mail. What is the address, the address, Mr. Bruce McGee?
Again, I'm going to ruin his perfect flow by screwing it up and mentioning a couple things. First off, we need somebody to ask us Facebook questions because the puppet got so pissed off he started his own damn podcast. Second off, if you want to find that, if you want to find some of our other podcasts, we also have a WonderPod eyeliner. Oh, Jesus. E-dress eyeliner. I think
that's hot.
I think this show is, yeah, it's hot,
product,
all right.
WonderPod eyeliner.
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting to be like a cheesy B-movie, and I kind of like it. No, it's WonderPod Online. We also have a iTunes page for that. I think it only has two things on there because Speedburner screwed me, but there will be other things to come on there. And we also do have an email address, which is wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Until episode 60, I will be a person trying to learn how to say things. I'm out of here.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The podcast is a lie.
This was a time.
Well, he picked that up quick. This podcast is a lie. It's a liar. It's on fire. Oh.